to episode number 17 of WP Late Night. I'm Ryan Immel, joined by Brad Williams, and filling in for Dre Armada this week, Helen Hosandi of 10 Up. Hello, Helen.
Hi, guys.
This is your podcast debut, right?
It is.
The momentous occasion. Oh, don't worry. You're only classing up the place, that's for sure. And Brad, hi.
Well, hello to you too, Ryan. Thank
well,
you.
I'm
I tease.
So how have you been? This is your second week back, right after the trip?
Yeah, good. I'm catching up. I caught up on work and emails and staying busy. That's for sure. Hot and heavy in the second edition of Professional WordPress.
Oh, okay.
So always fun juggling work and writing and personal life, but I'm a glutton for punishment, so that's what I like.
Sure.
I can stay busy.
Mm-hmm. What, I guess, do we start off with drinks, what everybody's drinking?
Which, yes.
I'm really boring. I'm actually drinking coffee.
I was going to say, do you have like scotch in a coffee cup?
And nope. That's why I drink carefully as though it was warm? Yes, no, it is just coffee because
I'm lame tonight.
Yeah, hot. What about you, Brad?
I have a, on the cruise, I actually got some duty-free torched cherry rum.
Wow.
So okay. I'm drinking that with some Coke. So I have a torched cherry duff is what I'm calling it.
Uh-huh.
Yep. It's pretty good.
Nice.
Glad you mentioned duff, actually. I'm going to add that to the notes real quick. I don't know how we look at that. Duff.
Ellen, are you drinking on anything over there?
No, I'm boring. Just an empty glass.
That's allowed. That's okay.
So am I actually drinking alone?
Yes.
Totally. What just happened?
I mean, yeah, it's just another Wednesday for you. That's okay.
Oh, man. You know, and if I actually had a I Drink Alone song, I guess that'll do.
I think that's what you were playing right before we started.
The
Cash.
Actually, no.
It's far too quiet. Nobody heard that anywhere, which is I'm okay with. Play all of your sound effects at that
point. I'm rusty on my sound effects. I got to get back into this thing. So
yeah, no, I understand. So I went to WordCamp Columbus over the weekend, which was fun. Saw a lot of cool people. Two funny stories from that, but one I might hold off on. Depends how the show goes. But one, we sort of discovered. I wouldn't say we made, but we discovered what I think is the best WordPress drinking game that I know of.
Oh,
so that may come out later at some point. But the other fun part was that I ended up
doing... So that I can drink to this game by myself.
Yeah, Well, I'll get
the point of the game just to get me trashed?
I'll get really caffeinated, basically. and then the other thing was... I gave a presentation called Every Theme Sucks and Nobody Cares, which is the first time I've given the talk, and it's about, you know... what you'd expect, I guess. But through like the shuffling during, the last few days leading up to the WordCamp, I ended up in the marketing track, which was pretty interesting because I'm like, all right. So that was a fun experience giving a kind of a cynical.
So, what was it? What was your topic actually about?
WordPress themes and how a lot of themes that are being shipped and sold and developed nowadays are actually not that great. So... Just a bunch of all the things about themes that bother me. That was the whole presentation, which was fun for me. It was actually a second presentation of the weekend that I gave because they needed a spot filled. So I was like, hey, I'll do a second one if I can test out this previously untested presentation. So aside from being in the marketing track. So I think people, enjoyed it, but there were a lot of... it was maybe early for some of them in their WordPress career to hear cynical theme talk, but it was still good.
So is that the third WordCamp Columbus? Second? I know they've had at least two. Have they had three?
I think it's the third. There was one last year, which was awesome as well. And right. I think the year before there wasn't one. And it was like 2009, 11, and 12, but I could be wrong.
Okay. I've always heard it's pretty good. Yeah. Was it a decent sized crowd?
Yeah, they had, I think it was about 160 or so. Cool. They had, it seems like every organizer, and I guess you can confirm or deny this, but it seems like every WordCamp organizer deals with like variable attendee numbers in the 7 days leading up to an event. I think in their case, their numbers almost doubled like in the last few days.
Yeah, it's funny. Nobody wants to commit until like they actually know their schedule the week prior. So yeah, it's like the last, and then everyone's shocked if it sells out. Like, oh, I needed a ticket. Well, why'd you wait? Why didn't you just buy a ticket? Like, all right, WordCamp Columbus is $40. You know, a lot of them around $20 to $30. $40, I can understand waiting a little bit longer.
Sure,
but a $20 ticket, man, come on, just buy it. You know, if you need it, great. If not, you can donate it or something. But $20, that's not that much.
Is that your pitch for people registering early for WordCamp Philly? It's like, come on, it's $40. Yeah,
well, I better
have to go.
They'll be $40. Not saying they will be. I don't know what they will be, but no, we're gonna keep it lower. But no, that is like the last. Yeah, you sell probably more than half your tickets, like they did in the last week.
Yeah,
which is
yeah.
tough because you kind of sweat it like 2 weeks out. Like, oh man, we still have 200 tickets left. Where is everybody? And then like 3 days later, you sell out. and then you got to scramble to see if you can fit more people or not, you know, if you can get more tickets or not. So running a WordCamp's fun.
I bet. Are you ramping up for it? Much planning going on right now or just kind of still?
We're mainly focused on the website because we don't have the site up yet. So our goal is to get the site up. I would love to get tickets on sale by the end of this month. It's going to be tough to do, but I'm hoping we can. So. Yeah, I mean, it gets like you get your site up. Once you get tickets on sale and call for speakers and call for sponsors and call for volunteer, then it's kind of like it's all there. Then it's just processing the amount of input that's coming in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Versus organizing too. Until you get a little bit closer. When you're a month or so out, then you really have to dive in a lot of stuff. But it takes a lot of work, man. Like you go to these work camps, you're like, oh, you know, it's a 1 day, 2 day event. It seems pretty straightforward. But behind the scenes is literally chaos the week before, just everybody running around with, you know, like their heads cut off. It's crazy, but you know, it all works, right? It all ends up yep. working. I've yet to been at a WordCamp that's, you know, exploded before it started or right in the middle of it. They all end up working really well and come off great. So all that hard work pays off, but it's definitely an interesting process.
So we've got a few topics. I do want to talk at least a little bit though about 10UP and, specifically how they, cause I think we've talked
what's
about
up?
This a bit in the past. What's up with 10UP?
I was wanting to throw that out. What's up?
Oh no. You're gonna have to fight, right? Web Dev Studios.
Exactly.
10UP. Yeah, man. I threw out a challenge, you guys. So 10UP, if you're not familiar, you're a WordPress design development company. You're remote. You're just like us. Web Dev Studios, we're remote. I mean, we're all over the place. Very, very similar. You know a lot of us. We know of a lot of you. So we were trying to get into a little, I don't even know what I challenge you to, a boxing match, MMA. I have no idea. But it didn't happen, which is probably for the best.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
I think this is the second 10UP web dev head-to-head we've had on the show, which is, I mean, it's, you know, it's always brand
new. Oh, yeah, because we had Jake on early on.
Yep.
Who's the founder of 10UP, right? And he's a great guy. I've known Jake since back at WordPress Weekly days, and always fun to catch up with him and his team and see what you guys are up to. Because, I mean, truly, we do a lot of the same stuff. I think we even have some of the same clients. So that's
nice. I think so, too.
There's that much work to go around. That's cool.
There really is?
Yeah, seriously.
So you, is it a number of people at 10UP? Or I know you spend a good deal of your time, or at least some of your time, contributing to WordPress, right, Helen?
Yeah, I do. I get, you know, maybe 15% to 20% promised hours for core development when needed, and generally use them. You know, sometimes it's quiet mm-hmm. with core, especially between releases. But there is another person who does also some contributing, but it's more like community stuff, plugins. His name's Zach. He does a lot of caching things that I sort of understand, but not my strength.
Sure.
So
cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, this actually is a perfect opportunity for me to guilt Brad. Where's this principle at WebDev? When's this coming out?
I actually stepped away for 2 seconds. So
you're killing me. You're
caught 20%, but I don't know what 20% of what. Like, what are we talking about?
20% of their time spent contributing to WordPress.
That's awesome.
I need to pay attention to the video now. My eyes are on you.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I've said it before, and I'll say it many times. I strive to get to the point where we can do that, and I think we're getting close to that, to where we can start doing that a little bit more. But it's a challenge. You know, at the end of the day, clients come first. So if it's, you know, late on a Friday and you have something you got to get out the door for a client versus contributing back, you know, we got to go with the client. Now, it's not to say that a lot of our team doesn't contribute back in their own time, you know, plugins, whatever it may be. A lot of our guys are getting more interested in core, submitting patches. We had 3 or 4 WDS team members contribute to 3-4, which I was really proud of. I was not one of them, sadly. So I've made it my goal to get into 3-5. I just, you know, it's no excuse. I just need to make more time.
Sure. I'm just teasing.
I mean, it's, no, seriously, I think every company that, I mean, if you make a living off of WordPress, I think you should be giving back. So whether it's, you know, well, and, in some ways or another.
And honestly, to be quite fair here, I mean, we were just talking about you organizing WordCamp Philly. So it's all tongue in cheek what I'm saying because.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, there's definitely, you know, you can look at stuff like that, and that's certainly contributing. I mean, you're contributing to the community. You don't have to just have to contribute to the core. But as a programmer, I feel obligated that I should be contributing to the core because that's where I could probably help out. Whereas some people may not be able to do that, but they could organize a WordCamp. You know what I mean? Like if I have that knowledge, I feel like I should help in that aspect. So your guilt is working, my friend, and I definitely need to step it up.
Speaking of contributing by events, did we talk about the Make Events blog last week? Was that on our list of things?
We mentioned that Make has migrated over to .org. But I don't think we got into specifics about the various blogs because there's actually quite a few blogs and quite a few new blogs on Make, right?
Yes, and I dropped a URL into the chat, even though I have the fear, constant fear now that I'll drop a URL in that is like obvious, and people be like, "Why would you even drop that into chat?" Because that happened last week.
But. Like when we were talking about plugins, and you put WordPress.org.
It's a compulsion. Chat. Command C, Command V, you know, with a tab in between. It's exciting.
My fear is my Command V is not what I thought my Command C was, and I post something like a link to something I shouldn't post.
It's like
like on Twitter, and I hit enter too fast. I'm like, oh wait a minute,
yeah,
I didn't mean to post that.
But anyway, well, your new employee Brian Richards has picked up, well, not picked up because he always did it anyway, but the web dev tradition of giving me crap. But he's in the chat room as well. I always hit Command C like multiple times. I don't know why, because I'm a weird computer person. But it's cool to see that there's tons of activity, lots of both meetup and WordCamp organizers talking and sharing ideas on there right now. It'll be exciting to see that kind of explode more because it's still, I think, like a week old, so it's still really young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for organizers especially, I think it's awesome. I mean, it's for WordCamps, meetups, or really anything around WordPress, like to get ideas, because I mean, that's one thing I get a lot out of going to various WordCamps, talking to other organizers, because I run the Philly meetup group too. So we're doing a meetup every month, and we get 60 to 70 people at some of these meetups, so they're fairly good size for a meetup. So it's nice to kind of get bounce ideas off them. What are they doing? What works? What doesn't work? Like, have they done anything different and cool that people really responded well to? And, you know, you can always learn something, always. And if you just look at the list of people that responded to Jane's initial post, I mean, you know, these people, you add it all up, and there's probably a few hundred events that have been scheduled or meetups or WordCamps, whatever, just through these people. So it's a huge brain bank. So I'm anxious to see where this goes, you know.
One thing I would say for people, particularly thinking about organizing meetups, we have one coming up this Saturday. And I'm stealing this idea from Angie Meeker, who was one of the organizer of Columbus, and she also does the meetup over there. But she also said that I think she might have stolen the idea from somebody else, so it all works out. But it, especially in terms of, it has to do with the presentations and which ones to give, and maybe at a first meetup, like how to jump into that, and she had a really neat presentation just kind of walking through the different aspects of the community and how sort of the WordPress community is basically who it's composed of and what are all the different corners of it and where to go for different things. And I just thought it made sense as a really good sort of first meetup presentation because you don't really know anything about your group at that point, you know, or who's going to be there or what, and it just kind of covers all the bases. So yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, I know our first meetup was basically, it was no set topic, just an informal, let's get together and talk about what this meetup should be. Mm-hmm. And that worked well because from that, we got multiple topics, multiple people interested in speaking that I had never even met. So kind of made a list and stayed in contact and brought those people in over the months and years to speak. So and that I think that might be good just for a meetup in general, probably do once a year, like, you know, just have an informal get together. What do you want to do? What do you want to change? Like, some, it's easy to get repetitive on topics, and some topics should be repetitive. We've talked about it before, like security. That's something. Security. I know you're going to say something.
That's, we're going to be at
I can't say it too fast, or it's always a sh. You know what's funny? I found out I say swag the same way I say swag.
Swag?
It's terrible. I don't know what it is. I always mm-hmm. shh everything. Mm-hmm. But anyways, like security, that's a good topic to have once a year, you know, because yep. it's something you should always keep in the forefront of your mind. It's not, I mean, sure, it can be repetitive, but, you know, some things change. Some new things may pop up. Some other things may drop off the list of what you should do. But other topics, maybe not so much, you know, as far as being repetitive, but it's neat. In fact, Philly has a new WordPress Burbs meetup. That's how awesome we are. So we have a WordPress meetup that's just going around the burbs of Philly, bouncing around towns. Organized by a totally different person, which is great. I know him. He's a part of our group, and you know, we go to his group and stuff, so there's cross-contamination. But it's kind of neat to see that in a town like Philly.
Cool.
Let's talk about the 3.5 proposed scope. So this went up on the Make WordPress Core blog, which is also, I think we did mention that last week, because that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Rather than WP Devel, which I think it probably... Oh, outgrown its. It was kind of a weird name and all the rest of it. Anyway, pretty much what we kind of talked about last week, because last week we recorded a few hours after sort of the first brainstorm dev chat talking about these things. So a lot of the same kind of stuff, 2012, Retina support, or as we jokingly refer to it, Retina support, which is just awful. Better user experience stuff, removing links, which actually I do want to talk about a little bit. Customizer improvements, media stuff, and then platform and API stuff, which probably goes over. No, some of that. Okay, it's not too technical in nature. what was interesting to me is writing about it on WP Candy and getting a number of commenters saying, "No, not links. I love really? Links. I use yeah." That it kind of yeah. they're like, "What's going to happen to my links?" And at that point, it was. Well, these will, you know, change and probably be gone in some way, whether it's a plugin or something. It's still kind of up in the air, and people are like, "No, I hope they don't do that." So it's definitely something that some people are using. They were some new faces, so they weren't people that I've talked to a lot before. But
I want to see.
Yeah, no, they're there.
it's funny because like I think we can all agree that links would be a perfect fit for custom post types, right? Even if they keep it in core, like it just, I mean, it's obviously when they first introduced links, post types weren't even a thought yet, right? We didn't, that was a long time ago. That was before me even. Mm-hmm. So I think it makes sense. Or if they make it a plugin, I mean, that's cool too, whatever. But obviously they need to make the upgrade process smooth and they know that. So they're going to make sure that. If you do use links and you use them a lot, that there's going to be a whatever they end up deciding on, whether it's a plugin or custom post type, there's going to be a process to convert those, right? To get rid of them. Because I would love to see those database tables wiped out because there's a links table in the database just for links, which is kind of ridiculous because they could easily port that into a custom post type, get rid of a whole database table that really doesn't make a lot of sense to be in there anymore. So I'd be curious to see what the final implementation is and if they will actually remove that table in this version.
I will second Helen's statement into the chat booing options. Because you just had to throw that out as a thing.
Somebody suggested that we add an option to turn it on or off, but I don't know. There's the ticket on it got rolling today and the comments on it are pretty good. You know, of course we don't know what direction it'll go yet, but obviously back compat. Mm-hmm. You know, like it wouldn't just disappear for people who use it. That seems, you know, uselessly
so
alarming.
So there's a ticket on that. So there's like basically a conversation happening now around that.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull that up while talking.
Yeah, I don't know. Anybody know that ticket number off the top of their head?
maybe. Let's see.
Probably a newer ticket.
Yeah.
There it is. 21307.
There you go.
Yep.
For all you listeners later on this week.
Yeah, I'll get it linked up. But yeah, it's a I think it's a fascinating change because I mean, there are, and I haven't, I removed this from my own dashboard so long ago that I have trouble sometimes picturing it in my head, which I think is, you know, the UI and stuff, it's all so weird and old. But I think there are default links that come, right? It's like to WordPress sites.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of kind of, I would think it wouldn't even be like a quick check to see, okay, let's see if they're actually using links and then maybe do something because of that. Because everybody technically is using links. They're there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess I should read through the track ticket instead of
hypothesizing. Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like just go ahead, Ellen.
Oh, well, just, you know, one of the first motivations for it is cleaning up the UI, you know, so even without removing what's behind it, just hiding the menu item mm-hmm. for new installs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, helps a ton in terms of that. But, you know, removing a table sounds nice, but also scary.
Sure.
You know, you never know what people are doing with that stuff. So you're really hard.
Yeah, any database changes are scary. In fact, I just learned the other day that the first database change, or 3.4 had the first database change since 3.0. It was either 0 or 1. I have to look it up now because I don't remember. But the nice thing is if you search WordPress database, it's actually the Codex article database description. There is a change log. So anytime they ever modify the database, they add it as a change log. Yeah, so it was 3.0 was the last time the database was modified. So they went 4 major versions of WordPress before they actually made a change. Which is a lot. I mean, if you look prior to that, it was almost every version made some kind of a change. So that's commendable. You know, they're not making major changes. And you're right. I mean, there was a lot of plugins out there that add fields on the end of a table, all sorts of stuff, crazy stuff. And then if you were to wipe that table out and like your whole site depended upon it because you added all those custom, you know, fields onto that table, you know, it's pretty much, you're pretty much done at that point. So
I had forgotten until now that link was a post format. Like that's one of the available ports for it, so
yeah,
never use it ever.
Ugh.
Well, post format.
Speaking of UI, can we do something about track? Because I'm sitting here, I just CC'd myself to this ticket, and the checkbox is like outside the whole form, just kind of floating by itself on the right side. I had to like search around for it, and there it is, just all by itself.
There's what is a going paint on there? The track shed, paint the track shed ticket. That's sort of my own tracking ticket. I was trying to make track prettier and maybe responsive. I don't know.
Oh boy.
So. Yeah. There's like track is so ugly. I don't know. It's like the ugliest beast I've ever seen. It's just the most basic thing there is.
Yeah.
It's I don't even want to get into that, but I digress. Back to links, I guess. Problem. Sorry. Sorry to completely
That's exactly
that.
What I was about to say. Made by developers for developers. Hey. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely. I mean, and even as a developer, it's like, it's just not. It's like the first time you go to Reddit or something, and you're just like, this is garbage. And then like a week later, you're just addicted, and all you're doing is clicking every link. It's like just a terrible UI, and you eventually get used to it, but it's just because you have to. But if you could, you would probably change it a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely like the idea of the links. I mean, I like seeing some of that stuff that's a little more legacy getting updated. Not, you know, you don't have to rip it out, but, you know, update it. Like, it would be nice to see to convert it into custom post types. There's mention on the ticket of, you know, if the table exists, leave it and only not install it on new installs. That's cool with me, too, because then new installs going forward don't have that table, but keep it on the old installs. You know, that, I mean, I think that's a perfectly good approach to something like that. That way you don't have to worry about breaking people's sites if they had some custom stuff in there. I think what I'm probably most excited about for 3.5, based off this list, well, I'll tell you most and least excited about. How about that?
That's what I want to know.
The media stuff, improving the media. And it's a little vague, but they talk about, you know, improving management of galleries.
I never would have guessed that.
I know. I've talked about media a lot. Improving management of galleries, revamping the workflow for the upload insert, basically the workflow overall. Like, I think, does it work good? Yeah. Is it intuitive? Yeah, for the most part. It's, you know, it's definitely just not as good as I think it could be. I think we all know that. It's just a big undertaking. So it'll be nice to see some improvements, even if it's not a complete overhaul, just some improvements around media. It's probably what, based on this list, is what I'm most excited about. And least excited about is Retina, because I don't have Retina, so that really doesn't interest me at all.
Sad. I think that's what I'm watching over at the moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just stop right there.
Yeah.
Well, do you use an iPhone? I mean, you probably have some Retina device.
No, I don't. Oh.
You should.
I have an old MacBook. You're pretty devices. So it's not Retina. Uh-huh. No, I got rid of my iPhone. I went over to Android.
Mm.
I don't have Retina. I get Retina. I understand it. It's cool. It's great. But it's like, it's just so early in Retina that it seems odd to be making changes this early for Retina.
It's an important 1% of users, though.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's the future. I guess. It's like if Internet Explorer 11 comes out with this cool new feature, is it going to be in 3.6? I doubt it.
Well, that's a...
Okay. Or 10, whatever the next version is. I don't really track
it. My favorite little... It's kind of a little improvement or feature, but to see favorite plugins on .org kind of come into the dashboard in some way is a really neat idea, I think.
I would love to see like where that. You could make, you know, a one-click install of your favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or we could get even crazier, Otto. We're making some task lists for you.
There we go.
How about where you could make groups of your favorites and then one click install those groups, and then I would be a happy camper because that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You could probably even fake it, because I'm guessing it's going to have to draw it in based on, like, I guess email, like use the admin's email to check with .org. I don't know. I mean, that's got to be the only.
Otto's in here, so
because we can just check with him, but. If that's the case, then you could always, even if favorite groups aren't there, you could fake it with like different, I don't know, that's silly. So that's neat.
In 2012, I mean, that's to get the new theme in there. I think everyone really loved 2010. And 2011, I think you're kind of mixed. You either really like it or you're kind of impartial, and you just stick with 2010 because that's what you know. That's kind of what I fell into.
Flexible headers had to have helped 2011, though, because that is really the only complaint from anybody that I ever see about 2011.
The header was massive.
The header's really big.
Yeah.
So now that the header can be any size you want, maybe take another look at the theme.
Yeah, I like the fact of new themes coming out every year. I mean, it's cool, it's exciting, it's something new to play with. I updated it, or when they put it in Trunk, it's in Trunk now, 2012, so if you SVN up on Trunk, you'll actually get it. So I downloaded it, check it out. Haven't really gone through the code that much, but just on the admin side and playing with it, I mean, it's a slick-looking theme. It looks nice. It does not default to a page like we thought might last week, so... Still defaults to the blogs posts on the homepage, but it's still it's a cool looking theme, so I'm anxious to see how it ends up.
Yeah, it's in core now too, so and, play around with it.
It's in core, yeah. And Helen, you mentioned you're on Retina, and you're also on the improved UI.
Yeah.
What kind of UI stuff? Because I noticed over on make.wordpress.org/UI, you guys are playing with some cool ideas.
We are
going around getting feedback on. So what can we expect on the UI front?
Well, I guess going back to Retina for a second, some of it is not just for Retina displays, you know, like getting rid of images in favor of gradients and blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, we've got the package size keeps growing because we keep adding more things, the screenshots, all that stuff. So trying to reduce the size of the download would be nice. You know, that sort of thing. And
all for that.
Yeah, everybody is for that, I think. And as far as user experience goes, we're talking about improving the new user workflow. You know, those tests, those user tests that you saw.
Oh, yeah.
New users, and these are relatively technical people who know to go do things through usertesting.com, right? So they're still confused by how to just get things set up the first time around. So we're talking about that... welcome panel that you have, right? When you have a new install, you might not see it on an upgraded install. But improving that, making it sort of more like a permanent thing that stays there and kind of guides people to what they need to get done. Just experimenting with ideas, or we'll start experimenting with ideas, I guess. We're trying to get the make
almost
UI.
Almost like a setup wizard. Almost like a setup wizard, it sounds like.
that's basically it. There is an idea that I really like about having like a couple of, well, options, I guess, but paths when you're first installing or setting up a network site. I guess if you're on multi-site, saying, are you setting up a blog, a website, or a website with a blog? And then it would, you know, create the pages for you and assign static homepage and that sort of thing. Just right off the bat, help you get that set up without you having to do much besides click which one you want.
That's cool.
And I really, really like that idea. And also, you know, saying that WordPress makes websites, right?
Right.
You say, clicky, look here. WordPress is making my website, not just my blog.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Then we get little things called low-hanging fruit, right? Like the color picker and then how you choose the static front page. The process kind of sucks. All kinds of small stuff. So we're trying to make the Make UI P2 function a little better. It can get really overwhelming, you know, and especially recently, like you said, we've been posting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot going on, and some of the things are getting lost in all the noise and all the posts that are going on, and making sure that things that are experiments don't get interpreted as things that are absolutes for core, right? Mm-hmm. So, like this thing that Dave Martin is doing, Less Bloat, with the Spotlight type search for the admin, which is also super cool. And
yes, I saw that in RSS, and then I went, ooh, what's that? And then it was, oh, it's a zip file. And so I haven't gone back to it yet.
I did watch that.
It is a neat idea.
Yeah. So it's sort of like a geeky feature, or at least it looks like a geeky feature right off the bat, you know, like Alfred or Quicksilver, whatever those things are that people use. Although I guess Spotlight is what the Mac does. You know, just using that to kind of nav through the admin saying, you know, I need to go change my permalink settings or I need to edit a page or that sort of thing.
I'm actually watching.
Oh.
The thing now.
let's just hang out while Ryan watches.
Well, I'm waiting because I'm sure that this is the part, because it's muted, so this is the part where he's like talking about what it's about to do, and so I'm waiting for the part in the video.
You
where,
know, I think there's
there he is. Okay. That does look really cool.
Sorry, I was gonna say, I think there's like no better way to kind of promote your UI change or your UI idea than a video or screenshots, because that like immediately gets my attention versus just describing what you're trying to do or thinking about. Like, you know, take a hack up Trunk and kind of show it off, even if it's not fully functional. Like he even admits in the video, you know, he just added a few. It doesn't do everything, and that's cool. But he gets his idea across in a quick minute video. Of what it could do, and that sparks, you know, a pretty healthy conversation with a lot of feedback around that idea. So I mean I love stuff like that. Like especially in track, you see an idea for, hey, let's rearrange the menus like this or that, and then you start seeing screenshots, and that's what gets me excited. Like, ooh, that is cool. Like I could get behind that. Whereas when they're describing it, I'm just like, oh, I know. I guess I'm not really sure. I'm not going to comment. You know, whatever. But
the UI blog is one of the really fun places to get involved in some of these ideas because of that, because it's so easy to get these concepts, whereas sometimes you have to maybe grab a patch or like apply it and different things. And so I think it's an interesting kind of welcoming.
Well, you have the blog, and then you also have WordPress-UI and IRC, right? So you guys do weekly chats in IRC, is that right?
Yep, we do weekly chats. It's every Tuesday at 1800... Universal.
I'm only because
it's the 18th.
Zulu time.
and then we're actually, as of, I guess, tomorrow, we're going to start regular office hours the same time that WordPress dev has for like bug scrubs. So we'll just have open office hours. Because I think what we've been working toward is sort of opening the group up and getting people participating again, because it's been really quiet for a while. And I think there are two different factions within UI, right? They're designers or designer types, and they're developers. And you know, sometimes we'll be talking about like CSS coding standards, right? We were working on for a while. And a designer will see that and kind of be like, oh my God, this is totally not the place for me. I can't contribute. I have nothing to give back. Or it'll be design focused, and the developer will go, oh, wow, so this is not where I help. Like if everything was about design, I would be afraid, you know, because I'm not actually a designer, despite what a lot of people seem to think. So you know,
you're not a designer.
Oh my God, I know. What? So, you know, it can be intimidating to start. And so we're just trying to get it opened up again, you know, and say, yeah, we know there are two different groups within UI, but you can contribute to one place or the other and work together if that's what you need. You know, you're a designer and you need somebody to help you figure out how to code it, or you're a beginning developer and you need to figure out how to make a patch, all that sort of thing. And another thing that you guys were reminding me of, talking about how screenshots and you know, screencasts are really, really nice for these things. I know a lot of the time people feel like they're being blown off when we say, well, you should make a plugin out of that, right? And people take it as like a, oh, you're just brushing me off and you don't want me to contribute it back to core. That's not the idea. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, just make a plugin, whatever. we'll never pay attention again. It's not really the point. The point is that not everybody knows how to apply a patch.
Right.
Not everybody has an SVN checkout of what's going on in core. And when you make a plugin, somebody who doesn't know how to apply a patch, which includes some people who work on things like UI, believe it or not, they can install your plugin and see what's going on. And when you're talking about something that involves a UI change, it's really helpful. You don't have to commit it to core so that somebody else can, you know, update SVN up and then see it, or, you know, that sort of thing. So they can just install a plugin, which they know how to do, and see what you're trying to do to the UI and poke around and click on it and all that kind of stuff. So I guess that's sort of a PSA, public service announcement. Don't be mad when we say make a plugin. We want more people to be testing these things.
You know what I like about the UI is I feel like, because a lot of people are intimidated or not, a little bit intimidated, a little bit not really sure where they fit into the whole contributing to core process. Like, a lot of people just assume, oh, I have to be this hardcore dev. I have to know, like, I have to be the best of the best to contribute anything. And I think, well, we all know that's not true. And I think UI is a great part of that, because you could get involved in UI and know absolutely no code, no design, nothing. Like, just, does this look right to you? Does this make sense to you? Like, visually, does this work? You know, and give feedback that way. Whether you know how to fix it or not is one thing, but just giving feedback, like, hey, does this change on the menu system? Would this make your life easier? Does this make sense? Or is it more confusing? Yes or no? Why? You know, like, it's, I mean, I think it's a great place for people to dive in the UI side if they know no other place to dive into, you know? And I think a lot of people don't know what's out there. The nice thing is with these make sites, especially UI, especially since it's been pretty active lately. And I think a lot of it has to do with you, Helen. I mean, you've been very active in the UI lately. It's obvious. I mean, your name's all over the place. I think you're one of the few names mentioned in Nathan's post, and you're heading up two of the main bullet points or working on them. So that's commendable for sure. So I think it's nice to see that there is like this activity and a lot of excitement around the UI, whereas in the past it has been one or two people and that's been it. And it's like, you know, they kind of find out after the fact, oh, everybody hated that change. So that's my thoughts on the UI side of things. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. And we're trying to also make sure everything stays nice and integrated, right? Like UI talks to dev and UI talks to accessibility, which is also super important. So those are our goals.
Neat. I don't know if these have happened on UI. I think so. But I like, there have been some ideas floating around. I think some discussions happened kind of piecemeal on Twitter. And I think there might have just been somebody's blog post that I read that was, it's certainly not a 3.5 thing, but I think particularly with things like a permanent sort of welcome or setup screen or more of an introductory screen, this sort of rethinking of the WordPress dashboard, not in necessarily the visual ways that they have been, you know, a few versions in the past, which, you know, some people are excited about, some people get annoyed with, usually neat, but this is more of a purposeful rethinking of, you know, what are people actually doing on it and how much is, like, I think, I'm not sure who said it. I think a few people have said it now, but that, you know, the dashboard is really good if you want to pull open your admin and then read a bunch of stuff, right? Because there's, you know, it's like news, RSS blog lists and stats about your own blog. It's very kind of flat, I guess. So I think a lot of the big ideas are really exciting to see because we don't, it's really easy to fall into the trap of not really thinking about those things anymore because they've been there for so long.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Huh. Okay. also people.
Well, we have you. Let's just let's pull out our the worst UI things or the things in the WordPress UI that you hate the most.
All right.
So, what do you hate the most?
I don't really have. I don't have.
Well, I have one for you though, Brad.
Oh, I do have one.
Yeah,
oh.
Should I find that screenshot?
Oh no!
Wait, what? Get a screenshot.
Yeah, fair enough. It's hysterical.
I have one that I hate.
I'm dropping it into the IRC.
Oh man, I don't even know what this is, but I'll get the post stall while you do that.
No, I got it.
The whole blocked by search engine text that used to be in the header that was awesome because it would be right in your face and say, "Hey, you're blocked by search engines," has somehow worked its way back down into a non-noticeable place, which was the reason it moved back to the header in the first place. But now I think it's like inside the right now meta box. That's my complaint. Where do I start with that? Should I make a blog post? Should I go to the dev chat and complain?
Well, Brad, you personally should make a ticket plugin so people can ignore you. But that's just you.
Well, plugin, like, come on. You just tell me to get out of here, aren't you?
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, just shh.
Just shh. But no, it's the notification screenshot, all the different plugins and stuff within, which usually happens. I'm sure this happened to you or the screenshot came from, which you posted to Twitter and then I stole because I thought it was funny. You probably see stuff like this when you are setting up either a new site, activate all the plugins you're going to need to use, and then stuff goes crazy like that. In any case, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, this is, I know in the past there's been talk of kind of a, I can't remember the terminology used, but like almost like an inbox for admin notifications where things like this, it would be like you have X amount of new notifications and you click there and then it would show all this crap. But right now it's like anybody and everybody can put whatever they want. And this was a client site I logged into. And there's 8 notices. And this is on every single page. There's 8 notices.
Yes. Actually, I don't want to change that. We have a great segue. Since Dre's not here, we have to hobble these together ourselves. And the Jetpack notice is relevant to Brian's article whenever we're ready to talk about something different. But
that was the worst segue I've ever had.
That was a possible segue.
You started segue, and then you were like, this is terrible, so I'm not going. I'll just kind of maybe
now,
say
I still think it would be a good segue.
Now's the time.
I still think it would be a solid segue. But no, I think like a notification center for WordPress would be a really interesting plugin.
Wow.
That I would like to use.
Where is my...
Oh, really? Man.
Now
negative
we're back.
100 points for Ryan on this podcast. But no, I think your notification center idea would make a great plugin. I would use it. I mean, anybody can hook in and just drop junk up there, and that's most of what these statuses are, right? That's all that they... It's not like it's going into some special place. Just here's a box, you know, here's a big blue Jetpack box that's going to sit there and annoy you. Who'd we lose?
Oh.
I think we lost Brad. He got so...
Hello?
No? Okay. Did you, like, automatically reconnect?
The car crash apparently blew something up.
Skype bloop bloops. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a cool...
What was that segue again? Did you repeat that segue?
Yeah, try again.
Yeah, wah, wah. I was just saying that would be a cool plugin, and if you made it, I would use it because there's just a bunch of colorful boxes, and it's not very useful.
I think it needs to be core. I think a lot of them hook in the right way, and some of them just kind of brute force their way into the header, I think. So it's kind of like without some kind of systematic way or some way to tackle that stuff, like, yeah, you could kind of grab the things that are doing it right and pull it into a notification center, but the ones that aren't, I don't know if there's, it would be tough to grab, I think. And I don't know, maybe even a notification center is still ways around that.
For popular ones, maybe. I mean, but that it wouldn't be...
The popular ones are doing it right? They're they're tapping into the message up there, but
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It could just get out of control, like in that case. And you know, I can go through each one and figure out, all right, well, I'll deactivate this or, you know, wipe out the cache here and I'll get rid... Like, it's just like, man.
See, what I think would be...
I just scroll halfway down the page just to get to the page, you know?
Since I've been using WordPress.com, I think they call it a notifications bar, but it's basically for comments and people liking or following your blog. And I think, or at least toying with some of those ideas would be... Because it's almost like an activity stream for what's happening on your site. You know, and maybe some of the stuff would be, you know... I mean, obviously admin only, but a similar sort of idea I think would be kind of neat. Now I can segue. Would you like me to segue, Brad?
Oh, yeah. I got my segue. Do the segue that you've already done like twice. That's cool.
I won't even mention it because it's already done. But one of the other items on our list is about issues with Jetpack, which I feel like somebody in the WordPress world either at least tweets or writes something up about this like once a month anymore, which is kind of probably fitting. From Brian Krogsgaard at krogsgaard.com. He says, just his header image, Jetpack, how I wish I could love you, but you make it so hard. Which I think is probably, it seems to be, at least based on all the comments, seems to be a pretty shared opinion amongst various members of the community.
It's kind of old territory for us.
We've talked about some of this stuff.
Yeah, I'd be curious to get Helen's feedback on this because a lot of it's really like kind of just common sense UI and like following the WordPress UI, and they're basically like, no, nah, that's cool. We're going to do it our own way.
Well, actually,
and that's what a lot of his posts is about. Like, you know, he nails it perfectly. He's like, you know, almost all of us, if not all of us, really look up to Automattic. I mean, they're the ones that are kind of like at the top, and it's for good reason, right? So they should be kind of leading by example, and Jetpack's a perfect case of doing the opposite, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I think he said it was my fault that he ended up writing the article, nice. Right? Because yeah. I was complaining about it earlier that morning. Mm-hmm. The stats widget, it's kind of a funky widget, actually. It's not responsive at all. And
yeah, it just gets weird if you resize and then you have to refresh to get it to wake up. And, yeah.
I think it like detects how big it's supposed to be and then generates a picture that way and then never resizes, which is super cool. and so I guess it was accidentally loading external CSS, which was messing up a ton of things on the dashboard and all these things. And
see, now that you mention it, I think I figured out that it must have been a Jetpack thing, but I didn't dig any further than that. But I did notice weird things happening, so now I'm glad that there was an answer there because
that was
frustrating.
Yeah, they fixed it, you know, because I guess nobody says anything because they're just – sometimes people just complain and they don't say anything to somebody who will do something about it.
Right.
So I made it noisy and mm-hmm. it got fixed. So that was nice. But yeah, that was also a big no-no. Loading external CSS in the admin. It's big. Don't do that.
Right.
Sort of thing. So, accident, I guess, but not a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, the things it does. The fact that there are plugins to change the UI of Jetpack should tell you something about what it's doing.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, some of the other items, like when you activate Jetpack, it immediately adds the menu just below the dashboard, which is the top dashboard being the top menu item. Jetpack immediately is right below it, and then your posts.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we all kind of know as especially as plugin developers, that's kind of a no-no. Like, you know, the highest you really want to kind of push your stuff is maybe just below comments, which is where custom post site menus default to. You don't like kind of force your plugin to the top of the screen. You know, it's kind of a weird move.
Yeah.
I
think
we discussed it before how they auto activate some of the plugins. I know they don't all do that now, but some of them do auto activate when they feel like pushing a new kind of feature or add on or whatever they're calling it into Jetpack. Sometimes they will auto activate, and you don't really know what's going to auto activate. It just happens, or it doesn't happen. Like the comments one did not happen because it's kind of a big change, but other ones have. So it's like, how do you know when something's going to auto-activate, you know? And the fact that you have to have a .com account to activate non-.com features, you know, like stats, okay, you know, I guess I get it. You might need a .com account to do that. But some of the other features within Jetpack have nothing to do with .com. You don't need an account, so why do I need to link in an active WordPress.com account to activate those features? It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
their settings.
Say, oh, go ahead.
Oh, their settings page is what makes me crazy. Like it slides panels and scrolls things around. That makes me nutty. I don't like it.
The deactivate being like an Easter egg.
Well, you know, when you click on the details and it mm-hmm. slides a panel open and scrolls your window all at the same time, and it's really disorienting. And I'm thinking, I didn't tell you to scroll.
Right.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
What's going on? But, you I guess it's just, that's just how it is.
Yeah. I think I get the sense, just particularly bringing it up, anytime I run into somebody that has similar thoughts, or even better, people who from Automattic who maybe haven't worked on Jetpack, but who hear stuff about Jetpack all the time. It's a fun thing to bring up, because I feel like everybody, even the people working on Jetpack, have similar issues with Jetpack. It's such a funny thing that exists that I wouldn't be surprised to see some of this stuff, you know, tweaked over time, but it's certainly a pain right now. I was going to say,
well,
going to say that you mentioned the Jetpack menu item being high up on the screen. I think you have to make a good argument for your plugin to justifiably have a top level menu item at all, let alone at the top, because I don't know. I just think it's kind of audacious. But anyway, go ahead.
Most users don't even look up there, because they're not used to plugins going up there. So when I immediately activate a plugin, I look to see if a new menu is added. No. And if not, I go to settings and look under the settings menu. You know, like, I don't look at the top of my menu, because I don't know of any other plugin that does that. I'm sure there are some out there.
There are some other automatic
plugins. Popular ones don't.
That's
a whole other show. But I think, yeah, that's sad. I mean, it's like...
Well, and I shouldn't say just them.
Do what I say, not what I do. It's... yeah, there's others, but is it... Are they like the number one plugin, you know, the top plugin in that space that's doing that? Probably not, you know, because I don't know of any that do that, and I use the more common ones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess it's... And if you go through the comments, they're good comments, and it's like, it's, you know... almost everybody commenting I know, and they're active in the community, and they're a developer, designer, or they're somehow I know them, and they're part of the community, and so they're all basically agreeing with this post, saying, yeah, what the hell? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Why are they doing things like this? So I really hope they take this as constructive criticism, because it's not a hateful post in any means. It's very just kind of, this is what I don't like about it, but it's not
how I wish I could love
you. It makes good points.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the real reason everybody got in a Jetpack in the first place is the stats plugin, right? Everybody loved the stats plugin. It was easy. You install it. It was much easier than hooking up Google. Like, Google, sure, you drop the code in there, but you got to go to Google, look at the stats, look at the detailed stats. And there's some plugins that will bring some of that in. But, you know, .com stats were really easy. Activate it, you know, add your API key, and boom, you have stats. Simple as that. So there were so many people using that, and then they discontinued it and told you you had to go to Jetpack. And now that's, you know, in my mind, that's why Jetpack is as popular as it is, because everybody wanted to keep those stats.
Yeah. I mean, I still honestly really like the idea conceptually of Jetpack. And I think, you know, the idea of kind of connecting to, like, bringing in a certain expected experience. And in this case, it's for them, it's WordPress.com, and trying to kind of match that, I think could be really interesting. But I also think it brings up a lot of experience issues, which is what it's seen for the past year. You know, I think how you make that work. I mean, you know, when it comes to, you know, I whine about how weird it is. I forget, like, every 2 or 3 months how to turn off Jetpack stuff. I have to go and play with it again. I'm like, oh, shit, I know there's, like, a secret to this. And then I click the thing, and then, oh, then that button turns into another button, and then I get it. And that's kind of funny, because WordPress already has a decent way to activate and deactivate things like that, and it's the plugin screen. But, you know, perhaps... when there are a favorite group, maybe there could be a Jetpack group or something else that on that plugin screen to maybe make that a different experience. But anywho, people should read that and comment on it and form their own opinions about Jetpack, because everybody has one. I mentioned...
I'd like to see someone from Jetpack respond, because if you read through the comments, they haven't actually, you know, responded. Nobody that is actively working on Jetpack is actually... respond to this. So it'd be nice if they came back and at least said, you know, we're taking this into consideration, or whatever it may be, like, you know, some kind of response, because obviously they're big in the community. They support a lot of events. I think we all ultimately like Jetpack and we want to use it, but they need to make some changes, right? Because it is annoying.
Yeah, and I'm sure they know, like, what some of the UI issues are. Like, mm-hmm. I know that, like, the thing I was just complaining about, like, we tried to do the same thing for in 3.4 for something that got dropped eventually, but you know, if you open a panel below, it's cool, right? Like, you're saying, okay, I know that it relates to the item that I've just clicked on and all that, but what happens if it's out of view of the screen? Well, then you need to scroll, right?
Yeah.
So that's why it does that. Like, I totally understand why it does it, but maybe they need to go a different direction, or maybe they're going to. Maybe they're working on it. You know, we don't know. And it's .com. It's automatic, and it's not really our business, you know, whether or not they're working on it. It's not open source. So, like, as in, we're helping them necessarily develop on it, or we're open, you know, we're privy to everything that they're working on. So,
but we can help them by submitting our bug reports, and that we do.
Or complaining about it all at once.
I'm a fan of that as well. I was reminded, I don't know why, when we were doing the roundup, we didn't think of this, but I think it's interesting, and it happened just after the show last week. Like, on this show, people know him as the drink that you drink every week, Brad. But he is a person. He is a real living. And he actually raised in...
He's like a real boy.
18 hours, he raised enough money to go to WordCamp San Francisco, which I thought was kind of neat. We've seen some stuff like this happen. I think Ipsenu ran a little drive like about a year ago. I mean, in a different way entirely. You know, people... raised a lot of money for, or people in the WordPress community certainly gave money towards the Jitterbug Jane's Bakery. It kind of falls into that category of, you know, causes that people in the WordPress community get behind. And I think it's kind of cool to see, even though there was some discussion on Twitter as to whether it should happen. But I think since it did happen, well, that kind of, whatever. People supported it and it happened, but it's kind of neat, kind of cool.
Actually, Ipsenu, is that how you say her name?
Mika. But
I butcher it. I never actually asked anyone.
I mean, it's a, you know, what are they called? I mean, it's like a, it's a superhero name. So, it, you know, say it however it's a username.
It is?
But, okay. Yeah, I think. I mean, you know, there's a word for that. There's a certain kind of name. It's a pseudonym.
She actually did the same thing. Just, you know, a week or two before Ryan as well. So to get to WordCamp San Francisco this year.
Oh, was it that soon? That recent? I thought it was a while ago.
She's done two, I think.
Okay, that maybe that's...
So. Am I wrong on that? Or I'm just looking
you're not wrong.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm trying to find a date. Okay, I was trying to find a date. I was like, I thought this was recent. This was this year. Cool idea. I mean, it's kind of neat because, you know, if you're not familiar with the site Indiegogo... And there's another site that's, I think, more popular, does this, I forget what it's called.
Kickstarter.
You guys know what I'm talking about? Kickstarter.
Yes.
Where you can have these different levels of perks and then people pay for them, or essentially, you know, say I'll do the $5 level or the $25 level, and they get whatever's the person designates at that level, and then, you know, assuming they hit their goal, the person pays. You know, in this case, Ryan's had a goal, I think it was $1,500, something around that. And he hit his mark, and Ipsenu had 1475, and she hit, or I'm sorry, her goal was 1,000, and she hit 1475. So she went over her goal. So, I mean, I think it's a cool idea, you know, why not? I mean, if you are out there, and, you know, if some random person did this, they're not going to get the money, right? But these two people did it. They're influential in the community. They give back a lot. You know, a lot of people know them. So they use that to basically raise the money to get out there. And I think, you know, it's rightly so. If people didn't think they deserved it, they wouldn't have given money, right? I donated money to Duff. I figure I'd drink his name every week on the show. So I owe him that much, right? So, but hey, why not, man? My only concern, like, to do something like this would be like, are people going to give me money, or am I going to be like a zero at the end of the, you know, at the end of the time? I'd be scared that no.
Well, I think it's probably
dollar,
fair, so. Brad. It's probably fair to say that your fundraising efforts would be equal to your worth, your general worth in the community. So I think if you think about that in those terms.
So since they made it, then we got to assume that they have a high worth in the community, right? Which I think is good.
People would be looking at yours and saying, could I take money from, could I give him negative dollars?
Actually, he owes me money.
Yeah, yeah.
For the last time I've listened to him on this show. No, I think it's cool. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it makes you wonder, like, what if I put my name out there? Like, I'm not going to WordCamp San Francisco this year. I have no plans to. But, you know, it makes you wonder, could I do it? Could I not do it? I don't think I would, but.
Okay. Did you drop again? I think you dropped again. No, you just got real quiet. You
stopped talking.
Yeah, you got like halfway into a sentence and you're like, I give up.
That's the end of it.
Do we see who got the advertise on me level? Because I think he'll be wearing somebody's T-shirt. I don't know. That's not really a big deal.
I wanted to know that too, and I didn't know.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
In time. Helen, will you be going to San Francisco?
I will.
Awesome.
Yeah, all of Tenth is going to be there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're doing, well, San Francisco, and then we're doing like company stuff while we're at it, because we have never all met at the same time. So I've met a few of my coworkers, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of people I haven't met yet, which is crazy. There are 12 or 13 of us. We have like a Portland faction. There's three of them in Portland, and they co-work in person sometimes and all of that. And now I'm a little bit closer, but when I was in, you know, Wichita, Kansas, there's nobody around me. So it was, I mean, I was in the middle, but yeah, just it's really nice. And we've, you know, we're a really great team, obviously. And, you know, I love my coworkers, but it's really weird not to have, you know, met them yet. So we're really excited about all getting together and, you know, being the cool kids at WordCamp.
Yeah, no, you, I mean, if you guys wear like 10 up shirts, you'll look like a volunteer group or something. Like you should be staffing a table.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. We'll
just ushers or something.
You need the ask me what's up shirt.
Oh no.
That'd be awesome.
Or would it say don't ask me that?
Don't.
I want 10% of all royalties on that one.
Yeah,
I think Jake's listening, so.
Yeah, there you go. No,
Jake, you heard it.
Speaking of San Francisco, I'm looking forward to hopefully in the next maybe week or two start to hear more information about kind of speaker setup and schedule and stuff like that. That's just more of a note of something I'm looking forward to because I do plan on going. And
Yeah.
So you're going to San. So you both are going. I won't make it this year. I've been the last 2 years, but I'm not going to make it this year, unfortunately. So.
All
right, well. Have fun without me. It's always a good event. I mean, it's, you know, it's a who's who event of WordPress for sure.
Yeah.
Especially on the West Coast. So it's always neat. You know, you see a lot of people out there that you don't normally see because I'm on the East Coast. Helen, you're out here too. I know, Ryan, you're kind of just in the middle doing your thing there. And
kind of.
Indiana, whatever it is you guys. Yeah. Oh, actually, I know exactly what you do because that's where I'm from. But. I'm gonna miss out, so I'm anxious to hear the report when you guys get back, and maybe Ryan, you get some interviews or do some live tapings. Dre's going out there too, man, so it'll be
a good time.
Helen can fill in for me and you guys can run a whole show while you're out there.
There we go
She better be drinking though, or nobody's gonna believe that she's me.
That's the only difference
like just the trick. Yes, you might want to cut back on the hair thing a little bit too.
Right. This is a little excessive.
Big difference. Right.
Just a bit. I don't think I've ever had half of that hair in my life.
No.
If you total up the length of my hair ever in my whole life and add it together, it's never been that long.
You never had a long hair phase? Nothing like that?
Yeah.
You know, in like second grade, I had an afro. There might be some pictures floating around. Oh, I got really curly hair and I don't like it, so I just shave it.
We need to see this.
Have to find that somewhere.
Need to see this.
I look like I actually have bigger curls than Brian Richards has, if you can believe that.
Oh my. And he does have crazy curls.
He's got some serious curls.
It's almost like Weird Al, you know? It's like in the cartoon sense where they're like wearing a hat and they take the hat off and it's like springs back out. Like the same size. That's kind of how I envision Brian's hair behaving.
He's like Sideshow Bob when he unveils his mask and his hair pops in perfect form.
Mm-hmm. So what's this? Okay, so I don't know anything about recent activity on this. The Core Contributor Handbook. Helen, I think you added it to our notes.
I did, yeah.
What's going on?
It's a work in progress, but it's a handbook about contributing to Core. So again, trying to open things up and make them less scary. So kind of documenting some of the processes so they're more transparent so people don't go, oh, I don't even know how decisions are made. Or they just hate me and they never, ever even look at my stuff. And, you know, coding standards, that kind of stuff. So it got moved over. So Nason's actually been working on it for quite a while. You know, it's one of those projects that, you know, just takes forever because it's a lot of stuff if you start looking through it. And finally migrated it over a few days ago, I think. And finally mentioned it during dev chat today, so I thought it'd be safe to start talking about it.
Sure.
So we're working on it. I'm working on, along with Dave Martin, we're working on like the UI development process kind of document and talking about like how do we do cross-browser testing and what browsers do we have to account for and and all those pedantic things that, you know, sound like maybe we're going a little overboard, but it's good to know. You know, absolutely. People like to know what goes on, or else they feel afraid, like they can't do it. So,
well, and I would have to imagine too, when writing out some things, like questions come up, like, actually, why do we do this way? You know, I mean, sometimes establishing kind of guidelines or explanations of things will open up new ideas too. So there's that side of it as well.
Yeah. So the thing right now is just, if you see something that needs to be added, you can say something, and like either like in IRC, just say, hey, I noticed this thing, or leave a comment just saying, hey, I think that this could be better, or why don't we link this to something else, or that sort of thing. So suggestions are totally welcome, right? It's open source handbook, I guess.
I mean, I know, I mean, I'm not a, I guess, developer. I guess I figure things out. I make things as I need them. And it was a fun and eye-opening experience. You know, however long ago it was when I actually like kind of got help and figured out the process of patching things and submitting diff files and things like that. And I mean, it's really one of those things where and things like this can help for sure, because there are just weird uncertainties that can keep you from doing something like that. Once you do it the first time, it's like, oh, that's actually, you know, that's not as difficult as I built it up to be. And opens so many doors with, you know, being involved with and contributing to WordPress. So very cool to see. I'm sure this was an idea even at the point, like back before I submitted my first patch. So it's cool to see it kind of opening up and coming together some more.
Yeah. I mean, there have been docs around for a long time, you know, but just putting them all in one central place where somebody can sort of flip through it and see what's up all across the board.
Yeah, because I think I remember discussions like what should it be? Where should it be? You know, is it a PDF? Is it a, which is like, ugh, or is it you know, a blog? Or,
what is it?
Yeah, exactly. Where does it go?
Yeah. So it's nice. It has a home. So that's really nice to have. Awesome. That reminded me, I did a review of your patch.
Sorry, what'd you say?
I did a review of one of your patches the other day, didn't I?
I think so, yeah. It was actually awesome because, it was just, there was a better way of doing it or a different way of doing it. It was it was fun to come back to though, because it was a patch that it was really just a small patch to allow filtering of something in the media section, which now might not even ever be necessary depending on how things go for 3.5. But it was a thing that I had submitted like 9 months ago, and then Nason was like, oh, well, here's a better way to do it. And I was like, I don't really know how to do that, so I guess I'll come back to it in the future. And then it was the week of the 4th, and I kind of had some time off. I was like, I bet I could piece this together. And then did that, and then, you took a look at it, and I was like, it can be even better than it was. And like I said, it might not actually ever go in, but it was a little bit of success to revisit an old, really tiny patch from a long time ago and make it a little bit better.
For sure. That's
I love the handbook.
Nice,
I think it's good.
Somebody gets to talk.
Hello. I was going to say, I love the handbook. I mean, it's funny because actually I mentioned a little bit pre-show that I'm actively working on the second edition of Professional WordPress. But the last chapter in the book is resources / contributing. And it's a lot of like this handbook kind of in one spot. And prior to when I was writing that the first time, like there wasn't a dedicated anything anywhere on how to do it. There was just, you know, Codex articles all over the place, you know, kind of understanding, figuring out track on your own. I don't even know if there was a Codex article at the time on how track worked, which is a little bit confusing if you've never used track the first few times. Now this is all in one place. This very much reminds me of that chapter and even more so. There's more information here. So it's neat to kind of see this in one spot versus if you tell someone they have to dig around in 20 different websites to figure out how to contribute, they're gone and they're not contributing, you know. But if, you know, having one set spot that you can point people to, I mean, this is a great resource to have. And there's some really good information on here, you know, beta tests, bug tracking, how do you submit a bug, report a bug, submit a patch, you know, how are decisions made, who's in charge of the code that goes into WordPress, you know, this is great. I hope there's already a lot of good stuff in here, so it can only get better from here, right?
Yep. Especially with more eyes on it. So
That helps. Well, we also have on the list, we kind of mentioned WordCamp Columbus. There's also WordCamp UK in Boston happened over the weekend. So another one of those crazy busy. I think David Bissett refers to him as busy WordCamp or armchair WordCamp attendee weekends for like following hashtags and kind of being at three WordCamps without actually being at any of them, which I like that visual. We normally do at the end of the show, which is where we're coming to, picks, which are picks or bar picks. I don't know. We call them something different every week. But the idea is something to kind of point people to, which I feel like half of this show so far has been resources and things to point people to. So maybe it's kind of a foregone conclusion. But Brad, do you have a pick? Which I ask you first because you never do.
Well, yeah. You know what? I'll go last.
Uh huh. Yeah. You always go last.
I'll have something here in a minute.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm trying to think. I did actually see something earlier today. I wonder if I can dig it up. That's another reason now. I pick on you is so that I can give myself.
So you can actually get a bar trick together.
I see. No, actually, I remember the name of it. Hold on. I can pull this up. It's a. Maybe I remember. It was a silly plugin idea. That's why I remember it. So it's not probably a thing to recommend using, but it kind of made me chuckle. Reference. That's what it is. Yeah. Okay. So this is. Wouldn't be my bar tip or trick or whatever, but just kind of a thing that I saw today that kind of made me chuckle. It's a plugin called Shortcode Reference, and it's a plugin that gives you an extra thing. And the screenshots haven't been updated in a while, but the plugin itself has since 3.05, and it just gives you a reference list of all of the shortcodes that are active on your site, which I think is like one of those, man, how many shortcodes could you have that you would need that? But I guess if you do, then there's that way of doing it. But it kind of made me laugh because it's like, oh, okay, sure, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I had been thinking about that too long ago. We had a discussion somewhere. I don't really know where. Maybe in IRC. Mm-hmm. About like making a contextual help, right? Mm-hmm. Like adding a tab on add edit screens where you can hook in and add your shortcode. Ooh, so you have a shortcode reference. So that's pretty much exactly what it is, but with a different UI.
Right, in a different
spot. Because that's kind of funky, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if, too, and this is a different idea entirely, I guess, but just related to shortcodes, whether shortcodes could almost, like, because they're in brackets, and so few things are in brackets, that and this would be a plug-in territory just to try it out as far as the UI or the experience would be, but if almost adding shortcodes sort of behaved like adding at names on Twitter. So it's like you start typing it and it says, oh, you mean this one? You know, like maybe with, but it, you know, just silly shortcode things. Anyway, but
autocomplete for shortcodes.
Yeah, autocomplete for shortcodes. Anywho, did you have anything, Helen? I know I don't think I mentioned this beforehand, so it's okay if you don't.
We like to just drop surprises on guest hosts. Oh, by the way.
Actually, I was going to mention the one that Brian Richards just linked to, Mark Jaquith's WP Help plugin, which I've actually never used, but took a look at it this week.
I'm sorry,
and that's pretty cool.
Did you steal the plugin idea that they were trying to give to me?
I didn't steal it because I already had it.
You fit right in where Dre
should be. Serendipity is awesome, is what they call it. Yes.
Yeah, no, it's really cool, and he added he tweaked some of the UI stuff, which is what we were sort of looking at this week, and also added. The really cool feature is adding the ability to pull the help from an external something. So whether that's from another site or you have the same plugin set up or like a JSON feed, you can just grab help. So like for client stuff, you could have unified help for all of your clients and that sort of thing. So just it adds a dashboard, well, an admin screen where you can get sort of help about managing your site, and you as a developer can manage the documents, or as an administrator, you can manage the documents, and just a lot of things. It's really nice to have
kind of interesting because
more help.
It used to exist as a submenu of the top level dashboard icon, or I guess menu item, and now there's the option to choose between a dashboard submenu item or a top level menu item in different locations.
Yep.
So, all right. Brad?
All right, I have one. The chat room's telling me to get you back with the 10-up plugin, but...
could do it. It'd probably be a Jake plugin.
No, actually, you guys have some good plugins. The one they mentioned, Simple Local Avatars, I've used quite a bit that Jake put together, I think. But, short plug. What I want to actually plug, or my bar trick, is a GitHub project developed by three people who are probably all familiar with. Andrew Norcross, Jared Atkinson, and then Bill Erickson. And it's called Custom Meta Boxes and Fields for WordPress. Have you guys seen this?
I have. I think I've used it in the past.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. So it's basically an open source project that they have that's kind of standardized the way to create meta boxes and custom metadata fields for your post types in WordPress. And it makes it super easy to define fields like, you know, text fields, whatever, that's easy. But like date pickers, color pickers, time pickers, radio buttons, select boxes, without having to custom code all that yourself, they've kind of rolled this all into this class and have worked on it together. And they made it a really nice little framework for creating this stuff. I mean, this would be really cool to eventually see into the core at some point. I don't know if it would ever make it, but it just makes developing this stuff so much easier. Because obviously, you know, like I know how to code all this stuff. I can do it, but it takes time to custom code all this stuff. And due to, you know, the standardization and the escaping and the validation and all that stuff, you know, it's all hooked into it. So it makes it super easy. You pass in a couple parameters on the field type you want, the name you want to give it, things like that. The meta box, you know, name, and it will just spit it back out what post types it's attached to. So it's really cool. It's up on GitHub. It's open source. You know, they definitely encourage contributing to it. So if you want to add to it, we're working on adding some additional requirement checks to fields and stuff that we'll contribute back when it's ready to go. So it's a neat plugin. It saved us a lot of work. And we've used it probably in the last two or three sites we did where we did not want to use a plugin for metadata fields. And it's been great. So definitely check it out.
I like Krogsgaard's statement that he just uses it. The author names are enough of validation for him, which I think is, you know.
Which, you see what I did there? So I picked something that three people have worked on, so now three people owe me a drink versus just one person. That's what I do there, guys.
Now your motivation begins to show through. Wow, so what is that, about an hour and 17 going on 18 for the show? Not too bad, a little bit longer than last week, but I think that pretty much does it. Anything else we need to bring up before we go? I don't think so. Helen, thanks for joining us and filling in for Dre.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, of course.
Hopefully the first podcast experience was not too awful. I think we try to keep things pretty relaxed here. Oh, it was okay.
We need to get the Dre cameo before we...
There you go. It's a little low.
We have his voice. It's all good.
Yeah, as long as it's here somehow.
Louder.
I'm Dre Armada.
Thank you. So thanks to everybody who hung out in the chat room. Check everything out on, you know, WP Candy. You'll have all the show notes. Helen? Is it just Helen Hosandi on Twitter?
Yep.
Okay. Obviously Williams BA, Ryan Immel, but you don't want to follow us. And let's see. I think that pretty much does it. Any last minute plugs before I cue the music?
WordPress.
10Up is always hiring.
There we go.
Come work for 10Up. Don't work for Brad.
Oh, I like it.
Oh.
I'm submitting my resume.
Brad, did you see at the beginning of the show somebody said
I heard they're a cool company.
They have to be at least 15-20% cooler than web dev because of the time that they commit to WordPress. I think that's
pretty
good.
Challenge right now.
Yeah.
Like it's a little challenge on the line. I'll see what I can do. it's on.
And then everybody in the chat room or listening, be sure to check us out on the Aftertaste, which will happen right after we get done recording here. And we'll catch everybody next week for number 18 of the show. Thanks a lot, guys.